the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. And Lord willing, we'll conclude the 8th chapter this morning. Our reading will be verses 28 through 34. Beginning with verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them in the and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Previously, in our study of this 8th chapter, Jesus has manifested his great power over all manner of sicknesses, all manner of illness. And then last week and this, he is manifesting his power over all of his creation. Not just over sicknesses and diseases, but as we saw last week, even over the winds and the seas, the waves, he manifested his power. He created them. He sent them and sends them today according to his purpose. And he steers them where he wants them to go. But today we see him manifesting his power over his creation in another way. Not just over what we think of creation, but what we would say is the unseen world. The unseen world of spirits. And in this instance, evil spirits, devils, demons. So as we consider this passage of Scripture this morning, we want to look at these demons, consider their power, and consider the results of their power. But as we consider the results of their power, we want to consider it in two different aspects. The first one will be the results of their work where they are. Where are they presently? They're presently in these two who came from the tombs, who dwelt in the tombs. We see the results of their work and the miserable condition of these possessed by them. Miserable condition it was. First of all, they lived in a cemetery. Well, what a precarious place to be living in a cemetery, in a graveyard, amongst the tombs. I have read and reading concerning this and concerning the tombs there. It seems as though they were hollowed out spots in the mountainside, as the east side of the Sea of Galilee had mountains, many mountains. And they had hollowed out spots for these tombs. But think about that. A place among the dead. Would you be comfortable dwelling there? Now, I go to a cemetery sometime on occasion. No, not very often, especially funeral, graveside services, as most of us do. Some go visit the tombstone, the graveside of a loved one or a dear friend. Some we see instances of them. They're supposedly talking to this loved one. Whatever makes them feel good about it. But to dwell there? To live there? Not for me. Not for me. And I'm not. I don't consider myself one to be superstitious, but that's just a gloomy place. An eerie place among the dead. These places of these tombs were told were a great distance from town. And we've seen shows, movies, and what have you where they bury someone and it's at a distance from the town, especially the old movies. It's not right in the town proper, and probably most of the cemeteries that are in town proper now were at one time when the town was smaller, was a distance from the town, but as the town grew, it grew up around those cemeteries and those graveyards. This was their dwelling place. Secondly, notice that they were exceeding dreadful. People feared them. Not the devils, but these two men. They feared these two men because of the effects that these devils had on these men. What these devils were causing these men to do. Those possessed of demons were frightful people. And people knew that it was not good for them. People were afraid of them. And people knew that it was dangerous. Our text tells us in verse 28, says that they were exceeding fierce so that no man might pass that way. Exceeding fierce. They were dangerous. If you look at Mark, rendition of these events, he gives us a little more detail into these men. He calls it one man. Mark and Luke only notice the one individual, whether it was a husband and wife or what. Many think that it was probably a husband and a wife who were given over to these demon possession. But let that be as it may. Matthew tells us there was two. But look at verse 3. It said, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. He couldn't be bound with chains. Oh, he was stronger than a normal human being. See what the demon possessing did for him? But notice on. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. They couldn't tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Yeah, that would have been a fearsome thing, wouldn't it? To come upon these that were demon possessed. I don't think I'd want anything to do with them. I think I'd steer clear of them myself. But notice this. These who were exceeding dreadful, they dreaded the Son of God. They dreaded Jesus, the Son of God. Now mind you, these were devils, demons, evil spirits. They recognized the Son of God. He said, Jesus, thou Son of God. And Mark and Luke, I think both of them refer to him, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. So they recognized who God was and who His Son was. The Lord Jesus Christ. Even the devils, listen, even the devils believe and confess Him to be the Son of God. But obviously not to the saving of their life. Obviously not in a redemptive sense. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, and here we have some exorcists. Some seven sons of Sceva. And they were adjuring them by Jesus, whom Paul preached. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You see? These evil persons, these evil spirits, these possessed with evil spirits, they didn't recognize who these were. But they recognized who Jesus was, the Son of God. And we know, are familiar with the passage that we have in the book of James and in chapter 2 and in verse 19. Where James tells us, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They shake with fear at God. God and His Son. Jesus Christ. So that brings us to the word that they spoke in defiance of Him. These in our text. These evil spirits, these devils, these demons. They spoke a word of defiance. In defiance of Jesus. They said, what have we to do with thee? We don't want anything to do with you. We don't want to be around you. We have no interest in being in your presence. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, no desire whatsoever. Why? Because they're evil. Because their deeds are evil. Their works are evil. Jesus is just and holy and pure and righteous. Not only that, He has power to judge. Power to judge them. They knew that He would be their judge. But listen, Satan and his demons, they want nothing to do with Christ. They want nothing to do with Christ as a ruler. They want nothing to do with Christ as a Savior. In fact, Satan's goal was to excel higher than God. And so we have men today thinking they are at least equal to God, not better than Him.
They're filled with enmity against Him. They're in opposition to Him.
Think about that. Opposition to God. Opposition to Jesus Christ.
There are those today who want nothing to do with
Jesus.
They want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with His commandments. What do you think this movement is to remove all the commandments from our courthouses and just be a law unto ourselves? They want nothing to do with His commandments.
They want nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
There are those who even profess Him to be the Jesus, the Son of God. But they want nothing to do with Him
in their life. I've worked with those. Oh, how they love Jesus. They just love Jesus. But they had no desire to abide by His Word. No desire whatsoever to abide by His Word. If you turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 6, in verses 45 and 46, it says, "A good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Of which many are today. Also in the book of John. The book of John in chapter 11. In verses 9 and 10. Jesus said this: "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." He's walking in the light, so he doesn't stumble. "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." So, there are many who professing that, yes, I know Jesus. Yes, He is the Son of God. Oh, yes, I love Him. But by their deeds, they manifest that there is no light in them. They spoke a word of fear. These evil spirits, these devils, they spoke a word of fear. They said to Jesus, they said, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Art thou come hither, right here, to us, to torment us before the time?" This question reveals the fearful contemplation these devils had of Christ and their sense of His authority. Not just His authority, His power to judge. They recognized Him as their judge. John chapter 5, verse 22 says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." The words of Jesus Christ Himself. They were expecting the time of their torment. They knew that that was their future end, to be in torments. In fact, Luke, it is, says, "Cast us not out into the deep." That word "deep" there is the abyss, the pit. They knew there was a time when they're going to be cast into the pit, into the lake of fire. And they knew there was a time appointed for that. Just not yet. Just not yet. This question reveals the fearful contemplation these devils had of Christ. It reveals to us the sense of they realized His authority, His power to judge them. They were expecting the times of their torments, just not yet. Just not yet. They tremble. They trembled. They shook with fear at the sight of Jesus, the Son of God. They knew Him. They knew Him. Just as we read in the book of James, chapter 2, and verse 19, the devils also believe and tremble. Men, do men of the world today, do they tremble at the name of Jesus? Do they tremble at the name of God? Let me bring it home. Do we tremble at the name of Jesus? At the name of God? Oh, we love Him because He's the Savior of our soul. But do we tremble? Do we realize that He has the power of judgment? Oh, I think if we really realized it, our lives would be much different than they are. Keep us from many a sins that we commit. Well, secondly, that was the result of the work where they were. But now, let us notice the results of their work. Where do they go? Where do they go?
Not only where they're at, but where they go as well. Everywhere they go, we could say. They were cast out of the men whom they possessed and into a herd of swine. Into a herd of pigs. These Gergesenes living on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, on the other side of Jordan, were most likely Jews. Jews living there. It was their region in which they dwelt. And then it would appear that while they did not eat pork, they did not eat pigs, swine, that they were probably raising them to sell. Well, you say, if they were Jews, who would they be selling them to? Because they can't sell them to their brother Jews. Because their brother Jews wouldn't eat them either.
In fact, tradition has it that they even developed a tradition that it was unlawful to raise pigs as these were doing, to tend to them, because they were an unclean animal.
But they had found laxity in that because they were raising them. They were raising them to sell, most likely to any Gentiles. And remember, at this time they were under Roman rule. There was Romans all around them. Roman citizens all around them. Roman soldiers all around them. And pork would have been a delicacy to them. As it is, some of us really love our pork. Some really love that bacon every morning. Sausage every morning. Pork chops. Ham. Well, these fellas had a pretty lucrative business going. Think about that. A lucrative business. They weren't raising them to eat themselves. They were raising them to sell. To get money from. To get gain from. It was a business with them. It was an occupation. But notice the demons' seizure of the swines. As we think about the seizure of these swine, which is found in verses 30 to 32. Notice that they asked permission. They asked permission. They besought him. They begged him that he wouldn't cast them out into the deep, out into the abyss, before their time, into torments before their time. They beg him, let us, and they beg him with earnestness, let us go into these swine. Think about that.
Don't cast us into the pit reserved for destruction. But cast us into these swine.
You see, it didn't have to be human bodies. Just let us inhabit somebody that we might do our evil. That we might work our evil. Don't cut us off now.
Many folks, we've heard stories, we've maybe even known people, that said,
concerning the gospel. Well, I don't want to accept Jesus right now. I got more life to live. Basically, in essence, that's what they say. I got more life to live. When I'm older, then maybe I will. What they're saying is they want to continue in their evil deeds for a time. They enjoy them. They love them. And they admitted that Christ had power over them. We can't do this if you don't allow us to. Just as in the days of Job, it was manifest to us that Satan couldn't even do anything without God's approval. Well, they were permitted. They were permitted. And he said unto them, go. They were allowed to go into those swine. Just as God said to Satan. Satan approached him. And he wanted... he knew Job was faithful, but God, if you allow me to afflict him, then he won't be faithful to you anymore. And God gave him permission. You go, but don't afflict him personally. You can touch his family, you can touch his herds, all around him, but don't touch him. His body. And then later on, he gave him permission to even afflict his body. Afflict him bodily. But don't take his life. But you see, Satan couldn't even afflict his bodily without God's approval. He couldn't even afflict his family without God's approval. Well, Jesus give them leave. And there are many suppositions, I suppose, as to why he gave them leave. But consider this. We already made mention. He was in two men. They were in two men. They were afflicting two men. The souls of men. And left go, eventually they would have destroyed those men completely. Taken probably even their life. What are a few pigs compared to the soul of a man? What are a few pigs compared to the souls of men? A beast that, if they perish, if they die, they're just going back to the dust of the ground from whence they came. But the soul of man, the spirit of man, is going to return back to God who gave it. Let that sink in. Because it's going to be important. It is important. Amen. Notice the effects upon the swine. They entered into the herd of many swine. Mark tells us about 2,000. So this wasn't just a few pigs that, like some family would raise for their family. This was about 2,000. Like I said, it was a very lucrative business for them. They were looking to get money for those 2,000 pigs. And they ran violently down a steep place. It was mountainous. And they ran down the mountainside and into the Sea of Galilee, and perished there in those waters. They perished.
Listen. Satan's desire is to swallow up and to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. We know it well.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour the lives of men and women. He can't possess
the people of God. But he can influence you to do evil and to destroy your life. To devour your life.
So be sober, be vigilant.
Because those are his devices.
But notice the effects that this had upon the owners. Or at least, whether they were the owners or whether they were just hired to feed and to take care of these pigs. Notice the effect of that. They ran into the city and told everything that happened.
You can just imagine
how did Jesus cast out the demons out of those maniacs?
Yeah, that'd be a point of interest, wouldn't it? But that wasn't their main interest. That wasn't their main thrust.
And those spirits, they entered into our pigs, into our swine, our 2,000 pigs that we had out there feeding in the hillside. And they're all dead. They ran down the mountainside into the Sea of Galilee, and they all drowned. We're ruined. We're bankrupt.
Well, we might tend to feel that way, huh? If we lost 2,000 pigs just like that. Well, notice the effects upon the city and the countryside. For Mark and Luke tell us that not just the whole city, but and the country. The whole city
and country of the Gadarenes, the Gergesenes. Those names are synonymous one with the other. Came out to see for themselves what happened.
Well, maybe they were curious. They wanted to see the destruction themselves. Are these guys just crazy telling us this? Or did we just lose 2,000? Or did they just lose 2,000 pigs? Oh, and then they were afraid. For we're told in those Gospels that they were afraid. Greatly afraid. Well, you can just imagine. If this fella had a nice lucrative business going and he lost everything overnight.
If this man continues in our area, I'm going to lose too. I could lose. You could lose. Everything. He's got to go. We can't stand. We can't stand for this.
We're told in verse 34 of our text.
Besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Besought, begged. They begged him to go. Get out of somebody, go into somebody other area, but don't stay around here. Luke 8:37, they said, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. Yeah, they were fear of losing everything they worked for.
Their whole business. If he stayed in their coast. Mark 5:17 says, pray him to depart out of there. Of course, well, that sounds easy enough and innocent. That pray him. Well, that word pray there means beseech, entreat, beg him to go. Well, that's the effect it had upon those men, upon that city, upon that countryside. But it brings us to our third and final point. Notice the effects that Jesus had upon those that had been possessed, but were no longer possessed. They were cleansed. They were cleansed of those evil spirits. They were free of those evil spirits. And Matthew doesn't record that for us. But look with me at Luke 8. In verse 35, then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And look at verse 39. Jesus said unto him, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city great things Jesus had done unto him. They were clothed in their right minds and sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a change. What a change Jesus made in their life. Not only that, they were not only clothed and in the right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning. That speaks of learning of Him. Wanting all that they could get from Him. In fact, we're told that they wanted to follow Him into the ship as He was to leave. And that's when He said unto them, no, return to thine house. And they began to publish Jesus and tell what great things He had done for him throughout the whole city and region. You say, where did you get that out of what we read in Luke 8:39? The whole region. Well, Mark 5:20 tells us throughout Decapolis. Decapolis. You know what the word Decapolis means? It means 10 cities. There were 10 cities in that region. And they all knew who these men were. They knew the reputation of these men and how fearful they were to be around. But he went and showed what great things Jesus had done into those 10 cities, into that region. All that region knew that he was changed. For now he's publishing the gospel of Jesus Christ to all that would listen. In conclusion, how sad How sad that there are so many that are more concerned with material goods and could care less for the things of Christ. For the souls of men. They could care less for their own soul and the souls of other men. All they're concerned with is material things. All they're concerned with is gold and silver and the getting of more money. Sad to say, some might even be professing Christians. Yeah. They're that way. They're concerned more for those things than they are for the souls of men. You that have been cleansed, you that have been washed, has Christ made a difference in you? Are you publishing Jesus and what great things He's done for you? Do you care for the souls of men? Or are you just caring for material things for your present life? Shall we stand? Have a song in closing, Brother Ron.